The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Once again, this week is no exception. Today we're going to talk about escaping the matrix with special guest Kate Montana, and it's all coming up momentarily. You know, when the film The Matrix hit theaters way back in 1999, the basic plot was humanity being hijacked into a false reality, and it really struck a chord. Many people back then sensed that something wasn't quite right with the world, that something else was going on. And nowadays, you've got people, everybody from Tucker Carlson, Naomi Wolf, and a lot of other folks are actually pointing that people's instincts about our being in a matrix may have some validity to it. They've been exposing a staggering depth and complexity of various assaults on humanity from every side and attacks on our basic freedoms, from AI, deep state corruption, social credit scores, endless wars in the Middle East, etc. You know, the search for the Hydra's head is on, but so far, very few has realized that there is something behind all the crazy conspiracy theories and the corrupt men and women that are involved in them. There's another layer to humanity's alarming trajectory at this point in time that has to be exposed before it can be fully understood, halted, and then reversed. And so Kate's written a book called Cracking the Matrix, 14 Keys to Individual and Global Freedom. She does a deep dive into a lot of different areas of what's going on in her from her perspective, and also what she suggests we can do to kind of escape the so-called simulation of matrix that she claims that we're living in. And once again, with Guys Guys Radio, I bring you the guests. They all have different perspectives. I bring you the information, and you disseminate it and decide, I'm buying, I want to learn more, or nope, not for me. So right here today on Guys Guys Radio, we've got Kate Montana.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and today we're going to talk about The Matrix and also Cracking the Matrix, 14 Keys of Individual and Global Freedom, to Individual and Global Freedom. My special guest, return guest, Kate Montana, is a case of professional journalist specializing in the fields of psychology, spirituality, consciousness, alternative medicine, and health. She's written several books. Very different, an expose on sexual manipulation, Breaking Free, a thorough explanation of the ego and the conscious state called enlightenment, the E word, ego, enlightenment, and other essentials, a feminist memoir, Unearthing Venus, My Search for the Woman Within, a spiritual novel, Apollo and Me, and she's co-authored The Heart of the Matter with Dr. Darren Wiseman, and Ghetto Physics, Redefining the Game, co-authored with William Arnst of the Lord of the Wind with Lord of the Wind Press back in 2012. And Kate has been interviewed on hundreds of TV and radio shows, including Coast to Coast with George Norrie, Regina Meredith on Gaia. It was a very good interview there. She's got a master in psychology, speaks and teaches about consciousness, ego development, spirituality, and the nature of interdimensional influences. And she lives in Maui, so that's pretty good. And the new book, again, that we're going to talk about today is Cracking the Matrix, 14 Keys to Individual Freedom. Welcome back to Guys Guys Radio, Kate Montana. And please forgive my cat is saying hello in the background there.
No, I was so grateful to hear your cat in the background because I have one in my background that sounds pretty much like your guy. So.
You know, sometimes with the cats, some of them are verbal and some of them aren't. My previous cat never said anything and had a very high-pitched little meow. And this guy, he's young, but he lets you know everything. And he's very social, too. So anyhow, he might come over during the show. So anyhow, perfect. Welcome back. I mean, this book, Cracking the Matrix and 14 Keys to Individual and Global Freedom, it brings up a lot of scary subjects that I think our audience needs to know about, but not in a scary way, because also you have some keys to individual and global freedom. So there are some things we can do to address some of the dark things that are out there. So what inspired you to write this book, Kate, at this time?
2020 and COVID. Mm-hmm. Up until that point, I was a spiritual person locked into the positivity bubble. That was it. You know, 40 years of meditation. And I'm not knocking it. Bless it. It was wonderful. But you know, when COVID happened, I looked around at the world gone mad and went, what the hell is going on? I mean, I could bypass it. I could remain in bliss. But is this going to be valuable for me? And what else possibly could I contribute? Plus, I'm a curious cat. I wanted to know what the heck was really going on. What was driving this madness? And so I started researching the only thing that I'd never taken a look at, which was the dark side. I started researching the nature of evil, mm-hmm. which, Robert, was the last thing on God's green earth I ever thought I would even think about, let alone investigate, let alone write a book about. And what shocked me, it didn't surprise me, but it shocked me, is my initial research immediately showed me that I could track it back about 8,000 years. For 8,000 years, every culture on every continent on this planet has had a name and a description of the same thing, a non-physical, interdimensional, negative, entropic, parasitic influence, dragging humanity down. The ancient Greeks called this presence the Archons. The Native Americans refer to it as Wetiko. The Iroquois Nation, I believe, calls it Wendigo. I live here on Maui in Hawaii, and the Hawaiian Kahunas call it the E'epa. Tibetan Buddhists refer to these beings as the hungry ghosts. Of course, you know, it's Iblis in the Arabic countries, Abaddon in the Jewish nations. Of course, Christians refer to this as Satan and devil. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh. So I was like, well, okay, everybody knows about this. This has been, this knowledge and information has been around that this presence is a serious interloper in human consciousness and human affairs, working through humans, influencing us. And if that's the case, why don't we actually seem to know about it? I mean, we don't act as if it's real. And so that was my second question. The first question is, what the hell is going on? And then the second question was, why don't we understand that this is real and act accordingly? And so I started looking at religion, for example, not to knock any religion, but Christianity and most of the Abrahamic religions, the creation of the devil with the fangs and the horns and the tail. And it's scary as hell, but it's also rather ludicrous. You can easily dismiss it after 300 years after the age of reason in the 1700s, you know, we can easily dismiss something, an image like that, as superstitious nonsense. And therefore we dismiss it. Then the spirituality arena just ignores it because it doesn't want to look at the shadow side, because we've been trained assiduously for going on 70 years now to only look to the light. It's always about looking outside ourselves, looking up to God, so that we, the impoverished human down here, can rise to the occasion. And I was like, so the spirituality crowd never looks at it. Because if we look at the dark, then it's going to infiltrate us and take us over. And that's scary. So we've got, it's ludicrous. It's too scary to look at. And then, of course, Hollywood has run with the whole presentation of devil and demons and possession. I mean, my God, anybody who saw Linda Blair in the Exorcist back in the 70s, you know, go back in the water again after that. So I was like, okay, fear, intimidation, ludicrousness, so you can dismiss it. And pretty much anybody in the 20th, raised in the 20th, 21st century, we're wired for technology and modern science and modern thinking. So that kind of answered my question about why we don't know about it, why we don't act as if this is real.
So the archons then, for those who have not heard the term, whatever, how did they get here? Were they here before humanity? Were they part of the shaping of humanity? And did they set up a system where they could perpetuate themselves by feeding off of fear and things like that?
Well, that's the $64,000 question, Robert. As best I have researched and come to understand, and this actually blew my mind. Let me describe these beings first. They're non-physical. They're interdimensional, which means they can move between dimensions and then influence. So they don't have because they're non-physical, they don't have the power literally to pick up a pencil or a pen. So the gig is to influence human beings so that they begin to take on the archonic personality, which is parasitic, greedy, very binary, very black and white, very aggressive, and it's all about feeding. It's all about consumption. Because these entities feed on our light, they feed on our emotional energy, they feed on any organic intelligence, not just humans, but we're the smorgasbord. We're spirit beings of light and love. That is our nature. Even what we call the flesh isn't really physical. If anybody's tuned into Einstein and equals MC squared, it's mass and energy are equivalent. So even what we call the physical earth isn't really physical. It's all spirit in one shape, form, an appearance or another. And so and we operate way up here at a high love frequency. Not romanticized, puerile love, but the love that the life force intelligence that sets universes into motion. That's what I'm talking about when I use the word love. So these beings feed on that energy that we create, and they especially love low frequency emotions because they're low frequency. They're very entropic and parasitic. So they find most yummy. Chaotic emotions, violent emotions, anger, especially shame, remorse, jealousy, fear. That's what they like. That's what they want to produce in humans so that they get plenty to eat. So that's their nature.
So the matrix that you describe in the book and part of relationship to the Archons, what exactly, because people have seen the movie and there's a lot of truth to it, what exactly is the matrix and why do you believe, based on your research, that we are actually living in a matrix and what can people do to kind of see that?
Okay, here's the simplest way I can put it. If we are beings of spirit and our natural nature is pure love, life force, intelligence, which is about growth, health, evolution, and infinite potential and the joy of expressing those things, does our world reflect that?
Question to me, of course not.
That's the matrix. We have been, as the creator, literally as the creative beings, I hesitate to use the word creator gods, I really don't want to go there, but as naturally creative spirit beings, we are beyond belief powerful. But we can be convinced and influenced to be other. So the force, the intelligence, the non-human interdimensional intelligence that can't pick up a pen needs us to do its dirty work for them. So it's about penetrating and literally mentally taking over or and emotionally stimulating a human being until they drag themselves down. And I can give a great example of how this actually works
Sure. Yeah, of
if you'd like
course.
to
Of
hear it.
course.
And then please remind me to go back to where did they come from and how did this all start? So, in my investigation, I've always thought that the original sin, the teaching in Catholicism and then across all of pretty much all of the Abrahamic religions, is the understanding that human beings are corrupt by the very fact that they're born into a body, that the earth is fundamentally corrupt, satanic. It's evil. It will make you do bad things, and the whole purpose of life is to get out of the mud and the mire and the sinfulness of the flesh and sex and all of that stuff, and rise above all of that. That's, original sin. We're born into sin. And I remember as a kid in church just going, it just didn't make any sense to me. But anyway, so I was always kind of like, ew, because it made me feel gross. It made me feel dirty. Sitting in church listening to how sinful and corrupt I was and not worthy of gathering the crumbs from underneath God's table and eating them made me feel horrible. So, and that's no fun for anybody. So, but we've been doing this and believing and teaching and absorbing this insidious teaching of original sin for 1800 years now. So, where did it come from? Saint Augustine of Hippo, back in around 225 AD, he was the son of a pagan father and a Christian mother. He was a drunk and a womanizer, and his Christian mother despaired of his soul until he was in his late 20s or so. And then he ran across the teachings of a man by the name of Mani, the prophet of Babylon, who had lived approximately 100 years previous, who taught original sin. His whole premise was that the body is corrupt, the earth is a violent, horrible place, and the fact that we're born into physical bodies makes us sinful from the very get-go, and it's the struggle to rise above that. So Mani, the prophet of Babylon, taught this. Augustine of Hippo picks up the teaching and goes, oh my God, it was a lightning bolt moment for this kid because he realized that all of a sudden he had an excuse for being a bad boy. He wasn't bad, but his body was bad. His body was sinful and corrupt, and that's what made him drink and chase after all these women and make his mother cry. So he had an out. So he sobers up, he converts to Christianity, and he becomes one of the founding fathers and lights of the whole Christian movement back in 250 AD. And he brings the teaching of original sin into the Catholic theology. And now we have 1850 years of epigenetic, the influence, these low frequency shame, guilt, and self-hatred are some of the lowest frequency emotions we can operate at. So this has been pushed insidiously into the genetic code of billions of people over the last 1800 years, this teaching of the corruptness of the flesh and our shame and guilt at just being alive. The influence is incalculable.
And
Okay.
then the reason go ahead. The go ahead.
Go ahead. The point being, where did Monty come up with this idea? So Monty Augustine says Mani was visited by an angel and was given the truth revealed to him by God. Mani never said that. Mani said he was visited at night by a voice that would never leave him alone. And this voice told him over and over and over about the sinful, corrupt nature of humanity and the flesh.
So,
He called it his other self because he didn't know what it was. But it sure as hell wasn't an angel. So the influence, the staggering influence of that whisper in the night that penetrated this guy, Monty, until he starts regurgitating it and teaching it, and then the ball's picked up and run with by Augustine, and then 2,000 years later, here we are. That's how this influence works. It's an influencer. The whole devil on one shoulder
Right.
and angel on the other, whisper, whisper, whisper. That's actually pretty accurate in its own right.
So,
Influence. Push us in a certain direction.
is this simply part of duality, or is this an agenda where these archons want to control humanity, feed off them, and so have set up a template, if you will, where they're finding ways to have themselves, like some say, God expresses itself through us. I think your contention might be that these archons are also doing something similar to that by expressing their ways through us also. It's not like you look at them like that's bad, that's good. they're actually infiltrating us.
Yep, they are infiltrating us. And, you know, one of the things, and great question, Robert, about the whole duality setup. One of the things, again, as a kid, I could never fathom was the God of love and the God that wiped out millions of people. Mm-hmm. You know, the violent, angry God that was all about punishing and genocide. And then, you know, the love God and Jesus. And I was like, what the heck is this schizophrenic arrangement here? So in the spirituality arena, I managed to twist myself into the understanding of, you know, so when you're confronted, when a human being is confronted with something that's so basically fundamentally contradictory and illogical, a God of love, a God of violence and savagery, how do I reconcile that? Because we have been trained and raised, I certainly have been, in a monotheistic understanding about there's one source, there's one God, there's one light, there's one love, there's oneness. Okay? Oneness. Okay. So somehow I've got to reconcile this insanity. How do I do that? I start making up stories. This is how we influence ourselves, Robert. This is part of the building of the matrix, precisely. Is I start, okay, well, let me see, how can I understand? Okay, well, God wants us to grow. And the only way we can grow is by understanding, you know, the evil side and the good side. So eventually we'll not be evil and we'll be good. Oh, okay, God wants us to do that. So God created evil. Oh, that kind of sucks. But okay, I'll swallow it because I've got to figure out how to reconcile this insanity. That's one story. Earth is a prison planet. That's a good spirituality story. Earth is a prison planet. We're all locked in here so we can learn certain lessons and so we can grow and become heavenly spirits and blah, blah. So there's all these stories that we literally contort ourselves to try to fundamentally reconcile to an unreconcilable creation. This gets me back to your question, where did these entities come from? It was 2 years ago now, I ran across a woman by the name of Jacqueline Hobbs, also known as Oracle Girl. And I was listening to one of her talks, and just on a side, she mentions that this interdimensional influence is from another source. And then she went on to talk about whatever she talked about. And I was like, what? Another source? Ding, ding, my head exploded. And I literally spent a month contemplating this, Robert. Another source. Oh, my God. Okay, maybe there's more than one source. Okay, I got to break out of my monotheistic oneness blindness and contemplate the potential of a completely other source that is not of love, that is not a natural, that is not organic, mm-hmm. that doesn't have life as we know it. So, which is very, very parasitic. And so all of a sudden I had an explanation for a lifetime of confusion and contortion, trying to figure out why love would create evil, why love would create scenarios where 6-month-old babies are raped. No, for the good of humanity so that we learn. So finally I was like, oh my God. We're being influenced by something from a completely other source that has no empathy, no love, no compassion, no ability to create. Highly binary. It's actually very AI-like, which I think is an off natural offshoot of this intelligence. Because if you look at the trajectory of humanity for the last 300 years, ever since the age of reason and the rise of scientific reductionism and the scientific methodology, which I'm not knocking. It's created great, great things for humanity. Technology is fabulous. I love my toys. And it's like everything that science is doing is trying to replicate life. Mm-hmm. It's trying to, you know, the AI itself, synthetic replication of genes, synthetic replication of bacteria. I've just looked at the synthesizing medicines, synthetic foods, the whole drive towards
mRNA, right?
inorganic, non-living synthetic life form. I know that's a contradiction in terms, but I don't know another word for it. And if the fundamental drive of these parasites is to be able to finally embody, which is the whole gig. And I think this influences, I don't know how long this has been going on. I know for at least 10,000 years.
So let's look at this way, Kate. So my special
That's a
guest,
lot. Sorry, I just threw a tsunami all over you.
Cracking the Matrix is the book, 14 Keys to Individual and Global Freedom. So I want to get to the solutions, the 14 keys. But before that, so let's agree from a, just a conversational standpoint that there's a matrix. These archons are feeding off us. We go through this loop. When we pass, we live in fear. When we pass, then we go to the light, and then we get recycled back. And things don't
that
really
exactly
change.
Right.
So a couple of questions here. Number one is, what are people supposed to do? Because I've heard this before many times, in fact, that, don't go to the light because it's a trick. Well, what are they supposed to do? Somebody passes and the light's there. What are they supposed to do? In your opinion, I know I'm not saying you have all the answers to this, but I always ask myself that, like, okay, if I don't go to the light, where am I supposed to go? What do I do?
God, we could have two shows on this topic alone. But fundamentally, what I've learned from my own experience is hang a left and go to the void. Go to the dark light. The Indians called the void the dark light. And a lot of Native American tribes refer to it as the dark light. It's the womb of all creation. It's not the void is not nothing. It's all things potentially. Mm-hmm. It's the womb of creation itself. So go to the dark light. Hang a left. Don't go to the light.
So
that's the short answer.
No, that's all we have time for. So let's get to some more. So we're in this matrix, and the idea is that they just keep feeding off us. What's their ultimate goal? Just to keep things going like that? And with the advent, you mentioned 2020.
They want life. They want what we have, but that they cannot. In they're down low frequency, we're up here. Right. They've got to have us bring ourselves down to a place where they can actually seriously penetrate, create a synthetic reality, an AI hacked human that loses its spirit connection, loses its light, and then is operating way down here. And then they've got what they want. They've got bodies.
So, in your opinion, with the quote unquote Illuminati and things like that, do you have people who have been approached by these archons? And are working in tandem, they're infiltrated, or are they working in tandem through a tacit agreement?
They're possessed. Now, those beings who are possessed.
Are they allowing a walk-in type of thing, a takeover?
Take a look at what happened to Mani. Take a look at what happened to St. Augustine. They were infiltrated by an influence, a thought form that they took on that literally lowered their energetic frequency.
But did they allow that? Did they agree to that? Because we have free will.
No. I mean, yes, because they allowed it to happen.
Well, some people say, like, okay, for, you know, in the music industry, for instance, which supposedly has a lot of evil ties to it, like, you know, and it's so subjective where, you know, there's some really, really good music that everybody can agree to. And then there's music that a lot of it's kind of on the same level. And it's just determined this is a hit and this isn't. And for some people are approached and say, you give us this and then you'll get that. What's your thoughts on, I'm not saying it's specific to that industry, but
I think it works both ways. I'll tempt you with money and fame and fortune. Well, I'll get into that. But then you have to do this. You have to take the head off of that rabbit. You have to rape that child. You have to do this. Now I'm compromised. My soul is compromised. My spirit is lowered. My energy is corrupted. My light is corrupted. And now I'm even more open to the frequencies and the influence of this interdimensional.
Okay, so there are some of these discussions going on and some agreements being made in terms of foreign embodying. Another thing you mentioned in the book, which I thought was fascinating, that I think we've starting to hear more and more about it, and that is underground cities. So there's a civilization we have on planet Earth, and then there's been a lot of discussion about what goes on underneath the Earth, as well as we talk about the stars and other planets and UAPs and UFOs and ETs and all of that. But there's a lot of discussion about the connectivity of a lot of different areas on Earth, some rural, some urban, with cities, railroads, whatever. What's the basis for that, and how does that play into this whole matrix?
Well, if you're creating another reality, and if you're bent on fundamentally destroying humanity and creating a synthetic human, then this is under, it's all underground. Again, that's why people don't see all of this. We've talked about some of the reasons why we don't. The need to keep this underground, literally and figuratively, is enormous. So that's the short answer to that, because I'd like to move on to why we shouldn't be afraid of this.
Yes.
Because this is a freaking terrifying imagery that I'm putting out here, and
Okay.
understandably why most people don't want to go here and even look,
Right.
which is horrifically to our detriment. Because my fundamental thing, Robert, is if I don't know, if you don't know what you're dealing with really in life, how can you be healthy?
Exactly.
How can you
And
function? How can you thrive?
right. And
So
a lot of people, as you know, particularly starting in 2020, a lot of people have had their hands over their ears, and or people just they don't want to hear your side of the story. It's like one side wants to talk, the other side doesn't want to talk to you about it, and it's becoming more and more apparent, more and more polarized. I think we have to be really careful about that. So that said, Kate Montana, what are some of the 14, why 14 keys, and what are some of the 14 things that we can do that our listeners and viewers can do to kind of work through this matrix and have maybe the matrix not just work for them, or be able to like break free and live a fulfilling life?
I hate to say it, but it's simple. And simple is usually the hardest thing in the world for complicated humans to wrap their heads around. So this influence is fundamentally an anti-life parasitic force, intelligence, okay? Life is the answer on the other side. So what is life? What is healthy to life? What is sustaining to life? I spend a tremendous amount of time, as much as possible, barefoot with my butt on the ground, sitting under a tree, or walking in nature, or going to the beach and sitting in nature with my phone in the car or my phone turned off and left at the house, whatever, as much as humanly possible. I unhook from the Wi-Fi, the EM fields, the frequencies. Because on top of the technologies that we have that are pushing these negative, lowering frequencies, anti-life frequencies at us, saturating our reality. The screens, constant this. We're being programmed constantly with messaging that is equal on vibratory frequency of what these beings want. Chaos, pain, suffering, turmoil, confusion, powerlessness. Let's cut to the chase. We are these enormously beautiful, powerful beings of pure love. We have been convinced to take our own power and convince ourselves of the exact opposite. It's the inverted pentagram. We have convinced ourselves that we are evil and corrupt, that we are the parasitic influence. We're believing we're it. We're actually, even organic parasites from Earth, there's hundreds of studies that show that, clinical studies that show that just regular Earth organic parasites in your gut that you get from your cat change your consciousness. You start to take on the consciousness of the parasite that has infiltrated you. That's just little earthworms. So then we take this massive influence and we have been penetrated. So the thing to do is to get away from all of the influence and the messaging that's taking us into that false reality. Planet Earth, nature, our nature is nature. And so the whole point of my book is to wake people up to the fact that we actually do have the power of our own choice. And we are these incredible beings that, left to our own nature, are loving, compassionate, empathetic creators who take care, who nurture, who are guardians and stewards. That is our nature. So the more time we spend in nature, unhooked from the matrix, unhooked from our bloody phones, and much as possible. For thousands of years, Robert, we have been convinced that our answers lie outside of us. That only the external authority counts, the guru, the government, the president, the angel, God. They all know better than me. I'm a worthless, confused worm. Oh, wow. Well, okay. Make it so, number one. I'm a worthless, confused worm. Or am I a being of pure love? Nature is my nature. Jesus always said the kingdom of heaven is within. Oh, okay. Where? Okay, I gotta find it. It's within somewhere. Quiet, silence, 10 minutes a day in quiet and silence out in nature. Take a breath. Start to feel. We all know gut instinct, intuition. Let the heart lead. All of those ideas are being pushed aside, but the body never lies. The mind can screw us up endlessly and take us down so many rabbit holes. Again, we just reincarnate into confusion. But when we get in touch with nature and get in touch with our bodies and start getting grounded in our bodies and our bodies grounded on the earth with the Schumann resonant frequencies, emanating and vibrating health, vibrancy, evolution, growth, happiness, then we start to this, we literally, our frequency changes and we push this influence out. It happens naturally. It isn't anything that I have to do, like, oh, I've got to get rid of this dark influence in me. Help me, help me. No, Obi-Wan, help me. No.
How about let me
Absolutely.
interject here if I may, please. So, that's all well and good, and I say that sincerely. It seems like the challenge is more and more of our time is being taken up by, I can't tell you how many hours I spent yesterday on like I had to like I had one bank and they wanted me to have another account in that bank to set up with connect with my other bank and then my insurance policy, the PO box change, and then my condominium place need to have that. So much of our time is spent on this minutia and being busy that is it enough to just get out there and take a walk or make the right choices on the food we eat or turn off, put the phone aside before we're going to get in bed at night. Is that enough to counteract to meet the avalanche of busyness that continues
It's worked for
to
me.
come our way?
Part of the issue is actually realizing, number one, what we're really dealing with. Take the blinders off and go, oh, this is what I'm dealing with. Not being afraid of it as much as possible. Yes, it's scary. I mean, do I get scared sometimes? Of course. But I know better. I know what I'm dealing with so that when I do go within and just sit on the ground for 15 minutes a day or whatever it is, I'm consciously, intentionally bathing myself in life and saying, okay, life, not God help me. Okay, life within me, life that I am, love that I am, show me the way. I'm listening. And then it's a
So I would
switch.
think meditation is a key part of
I
that
don't
for you.
meditate anymore. I've meditated for
Meditation.
probably 30,000 hours. I just sit out in nature and I just go, I just feel my body. I feel what I'm feeling. What is life telling me? What is my body telling me? What is nature telling me? What is my natural?
But I would think, though, that the
Oh, I
meditation has
am not
helped you
going to
get to the
knock
point
30,000
where
hours of
you can tune
meditation.
in.
Hell no. Yes, that's helped tremendously. Tremendously. I just no longer am looking for anything outside of myself, Robert.
So what are some of the other things that Kate Montana, what are some of the other things that our audience can do? You have 14 keys. Give us some more keys to help our audience break through and find global
Start,
freedom and
start.
individual freedom from the
Take the
matrix.
blinders
Because
off. Really
we
look
don't
at
have much
this.
time.
Don't be afraid of it. Look at your own life. Investigate your own life and your own training about what you believe evil to be. What has been your reaction to that? Start putting your life in context, in a larger context. Start understanding the truth that you are a non-physical spirit being of love. When I got Robert, this is the, if I had one key aside from sitting out in nature and being silent and learning to trust within, how can I trust myself if I think I'm a pile of poo and a corrupt, violent nothing? When I got that that was it, that I was tricked, that we've all been tricked into believing what we're not. When I got that, it wasn't me. Oh my God, have I been complicit? Yes. Have I done things? Yes, of course. But I was tricked into thinking I was a pile of poo. I'm not a pile of poo. I'm a being of love. Oh.
How does this, Kate Montana, how does making choices, we're faced with choices every day, all day. So do you think that it helps then? And I think I know the answer, but let me pose it to you.
Oh,
What
totally.
we choose to eat, we make
Totally.
choices every day on that. Where we choose to go, our friendships. I mean, we're in a point now where a lot of people are at risk and losing long-term friendships because of the polarization of the politics. And to me, it's a tragedy because to me, everybody should be able to think the way they want as long as they're not hurting each other. And then just in terms of lifestyle also, what are some
It's
of the
all
things?
about
It's
choices,
all
and I
about
just have to finish
choices.
the importance of
So
what I was saying. Is literally, Robert, when I understood that
please.
I was tricked and that the vileness was not me and that I had no reason for self-hatred and self-shame, it was like a 10,000-pound gorilla was taken off my back, and all of a sudden I was in touch with myself for the first time in my life. Now that's a grounding rod.
What triggered that? What
It
was
was
the
honey,
inciting incident, if you
it
will,
was
to
3 years
use a
of all
literary
this
term?
research and investigation and contemplation, and it was writing Cracking the Matrix. It all brought me to the realization, yes, there is an influence. Yes, it has tricked me. It has tricked all of us. Oh my God, I'm not what I thought I was. Oh, it got me in touch with my true self, my pure love essence. For the first time in my life, I wasn't filled with guilt and freaking shame. Is a somewhere in there somewhere. No matter how much you overlay it with good feelings and positive affirmations, there was always that. So that's number one. Food, yes. Then we can start making healthy choices, Robert. When we're not filled with shame and we want to self-destruct at an unconscious level, then I'm going to stop sabotaging myself. I'm going to
Got it.
start making better choices because I'm, for the first time in my life, I'm coming from love and self-trust.
Okay. Last question. How do you then manage your friendships and your relationships with other people, both professional and personal, real quick on that one, because that I think once people start to, let's put it in quotes, wake up, whatever, you had your own, epiphanies on this. How do you manage that so you don't alienate everybody, yet you make sure you're being your authentic self?
I alienate a lot of people, and I've had to let a lot of friends go. Some of my dearest, closest 30-year friends are no longer in my life. They're not healthy for me. I'm not healthy for them. I've had to let them go. I still love them, but they just left my life. Hard? God, yes, Jesus, this is hard. No part of this is easy, but by God, it's liberating.
Determinations as to how they want to live their lives, because the path of spirituality, of ascension, if you will, and I use those kind of lofty terms, it can be a challenging one and a lonely one. So you have to be ready for it. But the first step is really looking at what's going on out there and looking at yourself and saying, how do I play a part in this, and what do I need to do to make everything better for not just myself, but for the world itself. So thank you for doing what you're doing. So thank you for coming back to Guys Guys Radio. And everybody out there, think about what Kate has to say, make your own determinations. But this is great food for thought. And that's what we should all be doing.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
All right, that was a fascinating conversation with a revved up Kate Montana. I love that when somebody comes on the show with a lot of passion about the work they're doing. And we talked about how humanity seems to be divided and people are at each other's throats. And at the same time, our health and our cognitive functions are getting in the way of our being able to tap into our abilities to set ourselves free from what could be a global enslavement. And there's so much talk about this from, was reading recently about electronic tattoos that would replace using cell phones and just a lot of things getting literally underneath our skin that could free us to make our lives easier in a lot of ways, but also potentially enslave us because you could be turned on or off. And so it's a good conversation to have. I know what I do on Guys Guys Radio to help you folks and help myself is I like to bring guests on with a point of view who brings something to the table like Kate has, and then you determine, do you agree, do you disagree, is it right for you, do you want to learn more? And obviously, I think we all agree that things are going on that we're not pleased about, and it seems to be a deep and deepening division between people, particularly in our country, and that's not a healthy thing. And I think we need more dialogue. We need to listen to each other. We need to kind of push back on any type of government oversights into how we live our lives as best we can while maintaining our freedom and also maintaining individual liberties and protection of each other. So a lot to chew on there, a lot to think about, and that's what we do here on Guys Guys Radio. So, you know, Kate had a lot of opinions on things. Her kind of mission got revved up back in 2020, as a lot of people have. I think that really changed the way people live and the way a lot of people think. So something to keep in mind as we move forward. I think the message is for everybody to look at things. Don't get sucked in too quickly to things. Look at things. Take a step back. Witness before you make any type of decision. And keep an open mind. So that's what we do here on Guys Guys Radio. We keep an open mind, and we want to learn more. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.